Hey, welcome, my sister. How are you?
I'm really good. It's Monday, so it feels weird to talk to you on a Monday, but I'll take it.
Yeah, you look like you're dressed pretty fancy today. Pretty snazzy.
Thanks. I'm just normal workday, but if it looks snazzy to you, then we'll go with that.
Well, I'm in a tank top, so anything looks snazzy to me, but yeah, you look good.
I know. Hey. Our listeners are going to comment, our watchers are going to comment on the tank top again.
Yeah, it's 140 degrees here in Minnesota, and I do spend a big part of my time outdoors because of our amphitheater and work that's going on, and right now we're working on the cross that's outside on the church, and I literally was just outside with the carpenters trying to work on lights with them, so I just don't have time to, I'm in shorts and a tank top, and I did not preach in this yesterday, so I've got that going for me, but yeah, so comment away, listeners, I can take it.
That's
before I forget, I was going to say, on my own podcast, The Day of the Lions, I just finished a 7-part series called The 5 Things a Godly Wife Needs to Do to Save Her Husband and Her Marriage, and I pick on the wives, and at the end, I pick on the men. And so it's balanced out. But if anybody wants to check that out, the David Alliance podcast. Also, we just found out that some of the emails coming in from listeners have been going into the spam folder for our email. So we found those. We've been returning those emails. So if that's you, sorry, we will get back to you. And then again, don't forget to check out our MingleMateMary.com website. There's some cool things on there. One of my favorites is the hoodie sweatshirt that says, "It's a great day to be married," things like that.
Yeah.
And then finally, we got a great YouTube comment, and it was great podcast. You two make me laugh and smile, and then I realized it was from Mom. So, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. So we do have one raving fan, so. What am I going to talk about today? What are we going to talk about? Oh, here, let's kick off with this. We're going to talk about bringing humor back into marriage.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found in doing research was that a 5-year-old will laugh 300 times a day. An adult 40 and older will only laugh 4 times a day. And it's really only a chuckle. And only two of those are when they're within the presence of their spouse or their significant other. And probably, again, I don't know that two chuckles would necessarily be considered humor in the relationship. But that's where we're going today, talking about, you know, different things. So I'm going to read to you 3 things that I found.
Okay.
And then I'll save the last one and then we'll get into it. But laughter always lightens the mood in a relationship, can always cause, you know, that tension to be broken. And I think it's critical in any relationship, especially husband and wife, that you need to have that element of laughter, because there are times when things get stressful.
Yeah.
You get uptight. Just the nature of marriage can be very stressful. If you don't have humor, it is unbearable.
Yes.
And probably, I'll let you talk in a second, but this is, you know, my gig. probably the best example I can think of is back when I was a freshman, we were paid for a day to pick rocks for a farmer in DeForest. And it was Donnie, Greg, myself, I can't remember who else, maybe Gary, but, you know, all my closest, best of friends. And so we went out there, and it was literally like for 10 hours and followed a flatbed being pulled by a tractor and picked up rocks. It was some of the hardest work I'd ever done, but I would do it again in a heartbeat because we laughed the whole day. I mean, these are 4 of my favorite crazy, insane friends that I've grown up with. We told jokes. We made fun of each other. We laughed about everything. The end of the day, we were exhausted, but I'm pretty sure we were just as exhausted by laughing so much as we were with the work. So laughter definitely makes hard things easier. So what are your thoughts?
I think that so many of those life situations that are so hard, the thing that we remember about what got us through was being able to laugh in the midst of it. I think humor is essential for high quality, good mental health, physical health, relational health. It just does a world of good for all the parts of us.
Right. And maybe some relationships, people feel like they're not good or healthy, or that they're like it's a drudgery, maybe simply because they just don't laugh enough. I mean, I don't know of many relationships. There's, you know, there's the 2-6-2 principle. 20% of the relationships are horrible. 20% are amazing. But the rest of us are in that 60% where our relationships are no better or worse than anybody else's, but they might feel worse because we don't have the element of humor and laughter and joy, and maybe even spontaneity is a part of that, but, and we definitely need it. The next point is laughter reduces stress, which again, you know, talks about lighten the mood, but stress, just physical stress.
Yeah.
I know this last year has been a challenge for me with my blood pressure. And then on top of it, I have my whole family move back in my house. My wife's health's not very good. So yeah, we need laughter. We need a lot of laughter just to break down that stress. So how is it with you and just your husband at home trying to have humor and, again, break the stress cycle that's going on? Is it harder with just one person?
It is harder. I think it's less stressful in some ways, but what really becomes, I think, an issue is just relational boredom. So there's just this malaise of we're getting along great, fine. It's just, but it just kind of gets like there's no real highs. We're just kind of do what we do. So there could be some relational boredom. And without laughter, oh my goodness, you really can fall into that. So laughter and lightheartedness, it just helps to relieve that sense of ho-hum.
Right. And there's, you know, ho-hum is like too much salt in a recipe. There's a fine balance between ho-hum and no stress, and ho-hum and it builds into stress, and you no longer have that joy that you experienced once with your spouse. So it's critical to make sure that you understand that, because again, I'm convinced a lot of people think their relationship is really bad and it's just lacking more humor, just lacking more levity and joy. And with that, they quickly realize, you know, we're just like everybody else. For the most part, same problems, same issues. We just need more laughter. So the next one is that laughter is a great way to help to connect with one another and have fun with one another. So I know times when I felt most connected to Kim is when we're laughing. And again, I would throw in, you know, many times when we're in bed together, whether we're sleeping or intimate, laughter is a great way to connect, but just in the kitchen as well. So, and I'm not suggesting we have sex in the kitchen, but I'm not saying we haven't. But regardless, anyway, laughter is a great way to connect.
It connects. Like sometimes you feel close to somebody that you're emotional and tearful with, or that you have a good cry with, but laughter does the same thing. It lights up a part of our brain and it helps to release endorphins. And when you're experiencing that with your spouse, there is this deeper bond of closeness that just can come from this a big hefty laughter together. And it just does something. It does something that connects you. You feel closer. And you also feel like, oh, we can make it. Life could be hard. It could be stressful. There's a lot that could be happening. But just big belly laugh or lots of chuckles, it helps you feel like, okay, we can do this. We got this.
Right. Right. Laughter is a drug. I mean, the way the brain is wired, you know, your neurons open up, your dendrites fire at a higher rate, more dopamine is secreted into your system. And it's an amazing way to stay connected. You know, when you walk into a room and you see someone you don't like, it can physically affect your mood. It can physically affect you like, oh my goodness. And just the opposite, when you walk into a room and you see someone like, oh, you know, Rick's here. Oh, I love Rick. You know, he's so much fun. And we need to have that element. We need to work at having that element within our marriages, within our relationships with those we're closest to, but specifically within our marriages. Otherwise, you run into that syndrome where when your spouse gets home, you're like, oh my goodness, they're home. Because there's no element of joy that each of you bring to that relationship, which is dangerous. So,
yep. Well, yeah, I mean, laughter helps you to eliminate, it's the opposite emotion that happens of dread. And if you've got dread in your relationship, ooh, you need to balance that out with some laughter. Makes you feel like all things are possible. Laughter tends to, it ups your immune system and you feel like you're stronger physically. And it helps you to fight off other ailments physically. I mean, oh my gosh, the benefits of laughter. Incredible.
Right, right. So one of the last points here that I think, and then we'll talk about how to bring laughter into your relationship, is that laughter is attractive and sexy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I would have to say is a good thing for me, because as I get older, my sex appeal is waning. But I think I could still make just about anybody laugh. But they say it's attractive and sexy. And I've heard many women say that at first glance, they'll notice someone and their looks and all that. But when they find out, you know, the truth behind their personality, and then they're not funny or they can't make them laugh, it actually is a turnoff. And again, many times, you know, thinking of Serena Williams, you know, her husband is a book nerd. He's a geek. He's a tech titan, a billionaire. But she said the thing that captured her attention was that he was hilarious. He was just funny. In fact, the way he got her to sit at his table is he was making a joke about mice that were running around her feet because of all the food she was dropping on the floor. And right away she said it was humor. And let's be honest, guys, if you're listening and you're single, you go up to a beautiful girl and you compliment her on how pretty she is. She's heard it 1,000 times. It means nothing to her. But if you can make her laugh, you got a shot. So
yeah,
it is attractive. It is sexy.
Yep.
So you want to add anything to that, you sexy, attractive woman?
Well, you make me laugh. That always makes me feel better. So then I think then we move on to, okay, how do we do that? Because for some people, humor comes very natural. It was a part of their life growing up. But there's other people where they just don't relate to a funny bone. They don't really have that sense of levity or spontaneous joking. Or so how do we add laughter, more laughter to our marriages? So you go first. What's your suggestion?
Great point. I took notes. I think the first one is, and this is speaking not, again, this is not me. So I'm not saying it as to pick on other people, because what I'm going to say is don't take yourself too seriously. But one of the odd things I find with people who you say, boy, you lack a sense of humor, or you take yourself too seriously, they literally go, no, I have a sense of humor. You know, they don't see it. But the truth is that there are people who you need to teach them how to be aware of their surroundings and situations and people, that there's laughter all around you. There's humor all around you. So yeah, don't take yourself too seriously. You can laugh at just about anything. And sometimes it's inappropriate. Sometimes you shouldn't laugh out loud about something, but the truth is that, you know, you have to understand that you yourself, you got to step back and realize I'm a human being. I'm flawed. There's plenty to laugh at. You know, I'll be the first one to realize that. And I'm not going to take myself so seriously that I can't laugh at other people's jokes. And so that would be my first thought, my first insight.
Yep. I think that's great. So number one is first start with being able to learn to laugh at yourself. So that self-deprecating humor, don't take yourself so seriously. And then I would say number two is you have to be intentional about it, which sounds really like anti-humor if I've got to try to be funny on purpose. But I think you have to be intentional about going into having moments where you're like, I'm going to purposefully make this evening light, or I'm going to go home with a lightheartedness, or I'm going to intentionally remember to bring up some things that I found funny during the day, or even as contrived as this can sound, I'm going to YouTube a good comedian, and or let's watch some bloopers together, or you know, you have to carve out sometimes and plan for humor like times that will elicit some laughter and some humor. You have to have intention,
right? You know, and with that, I think one of the problems is that we don't you know, you said humor is it's spontaneous, yes, but when you look at the great comedians, their job was work. They had to sit down and write jokes and think of scenarios and come up with punchlines. And not that you're writing jokes for your spouse when you get home, but there's some effort behind being funny. There's some intentionality where you go, you know what, when I come home and I tell my husband what happened at work, I'm going to try to make light of it and make some jokes about it. Or when I tell him what our son did to the car, I'm going to try to make some humor out of it, things like that. You do have to be intentional, and it is hard work. It's not necessarily come easy for a lot of people, but you still have to do it. I would say know your partner's humor style is big too. So Kim's humor is very dry, very dry. And I'm a huge fan of a lot of comedians that are very dry. Nate Bargatze, very dry. When you think of some of the old British comedies, very dry. What was the old sitcom back in the 70s? The Meaning of Life and all those movies. Anyway, it'll come to me. But very, very dry humor. In fact, it reminds me of when Kim and I were newly married. I was water skiing with a friend who, when I went to their house, his name's Gene. I won't say his last name because I'm going to pick on him. Or she's going to pick on him. And I was at dinner telling her how amazingly smart Gene was, that he builds this and does this, and he's got his own shop in his basement. And I said, and in fact, when he built his house and he built it, he didn't build it with a basement. And then later on, he decided, I need a basement. So he jacked up the house on his own, dug out the basement, finished it off, lowered the house. I said, that's incredibly smart to be able to, you know, put a basement in after you've already built the house. And she goes, well, I think what would be smarter is if you'd put the basement in first. And so, great point. I'm laughing. And to her, that was humor. It was very dry, but it was humor. So understand your partner's humor, and they might do their best to make you laugh. It might not be your humor, but enjoy their humor and, you know, and laugh and laugh. And again, you and I, we come from families where humor is just stupid slapstick, you know, fart and poop jokes. So we're pretty simple. We're pretty easy.
That's right. I think you have to know each other's humor. For one thing, so Mitch's humor is very sarcastic. And there's times where we have to talk and I think, ooh, sometimes the sarcasm was too harsh or too little too hard nose or too. And so sometimes I have to be honest and say, ooh, that actually was not funny to me, or I don't feel like that was funny to whoever was listening. But also, I've also had to learn, though, to see the humor in his sarcasm, and that he enjoys that kind of sarcastic banter back and forth. And when I'm on my game, I've learned how to do that and can do that with him. And we just crack ourselves up with going back and forth with one-liners, but I've had to learn and grow, and he's had to learn and grow. If there's humorous stuff, like for me, that's just dumb, just stupid, dumb stuff, he humors me, and he just cracks him up that I actually think it's funny. So yeah, you really have to learn each other's sense of humor and then know how to work with it, which sounds too clinical, but I think people understand.
Right. Yeah, there are numerous times where with my wonderful, beautiful spouse, we'll go places, and it will be so incredibly funny to me. I'm howling, I'm crying, I'm laughing, my stomach hurts, and we'll walk out, and I'll be like, that was hilarious. And she'll be like, yeah, it was okay. I'll be like, okay, oh, you know, and just the opposite. There are times where She'll see something and she'll think it was just the funniest thing in the world. And I'll be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But again, learning to appreciate each other's humor is probably critical. Otherwise, like you said, it can annoy you after a while. And I'm sure that my humor can annoy my wife too a great deal. But and I give her much credit for not doing anything crazy, but dealing with it. So
I think one of the other ways to help bring laughter into your marriage is to use past things and build on past funny things. So use stories from the past that were, you know, incidences that happened that were hilarious, and then you begin to tell them again and you add to that, and have inside jokes. Like, we've got some inside jokes that go way back to our first year of marriage. And like, one of the things in my family is I often go to the grocery store and I can never get it quite 100% right. So on the grocery list, it might say, you know, we need butter, and I come home with unsalted butter because I wasn't careful enough. Or, oh, I needed strawberry jam, and I end up coming home with sugar-free strawberry jam. Like, you know, the stuff that it's like, gross. No, that's not what we... So now that's become this huge joke that if I can get to the grocery store and come home with everything exactly on the list, then it's a win. And we just have lots of jokes about that. Mitch has a habit of opening a box, like a cereal box or any kind of food box, and he tends to just mangle the whole thing. And so you can't really close it again like you're supposed to a cereal box. So that's an inside joke. And so it's not funny to anyone else, but we build on those things from early on, and now they become points of laughter to us instead of points of irritation.
I'm going to make Kim watch this video and this part specifically about going to the store and getting not necessarily the exact right thing, because it drives bananas. But I'm like, on the list, it just says butter. Or on the list, it just says, you know, mayonnaise. Or, you know, you didn't tell me what kind. I went back once and got toilet paper three times because I kept buying the wrong kind. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's toilet paper. But yeah, I love that. I know how you started out by saying, in my family, because I can relate, I'm your family. One of the best ways to continue to help humor is to change your environment, you know, just always being at home and being in the kitchen or being in the bedroom is that can kill humor. That can kill a mood. Excuse me. So even if you just went to obviously a movie or a comedy club is kind of a no brainer, you're going to laugh, or a comedy show, but even just, you know, going to the park and watching people, or hanging out with friends that you enjoy being with, that you know are going to bring out the humor in you.
Yeah.
I think those are... Your thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking of the people that bring out the humor in me, and there's nothing like my... and she's your friend, too. My oldest friend. We've known each other since birth. I mean, we just go right to acting like silly middle school girls. We talk about and joke about everything. And when I'm with her, Mitch notices a difference in me because I come back lighter. Things aren't so intense. And so I think you have to spend time with people that bring that out in you and encourage that. Spending time with old friends, especially that know you well. So who makes you laugh, Garth?
Oh my goodness. As you were saying that, I was just thinking, you know, I still connected with three or four of my friends from high school. And one of the kicks we get is sending each other Instagram videos, things we find funny. And I mean, just probably stupid to the average person. I get it. But on a weekly or daily basis, my best friend, Ty, we talk all the time. We're constantly making each other laugh. I got some close friends here. Ty lives, in North Carolina, South Carolina, one of the two. He's not that close, but no, he is. And then I have in the area, I have a really good friend, Scott Askew. We laugh. We just belly laugh. And then I've got some great people, some great men at church that I work with that, you know, we have fun. We enjoy ministry and life together. I'm pretty blessed in that I'm able to surround myself with church, with a lot of people that I enjoy that, you know, make me laugh and keep me on my toes. Another one is Tim's wife, Amber. She is a hoot. She laughs. And so makes me laugh. She's very direct and blunt, which I love. So, yeah. What about you? Who makes you laugh?
I have a friend that is... she's a friend that I knew from my previous job at a Grace, and she's just funny. She just has this dry humor. We weren't especially close, but her comeback on different things. So sometimes I will get on her social media pages and just look at some of the comments she's made. It just cracks me up. The other thing that I recommend for people who need laughter is just YouTube videos of fainting goats. I'll guarantee it'll make you laugh. Fainting goats. The other thing... Okay. That, I mean, I use video humor a lot, but the other people that can make me laugh is just going to children's things. So go to a kid's t-ball game, you know, look at the beginners. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. And sometimes we have some friends and neighbors, and they've got good sense of humor, and we'll all get the giggles. That makes me laugh. So it's just all... The people you have go-tos that make you laugh. And then, of course, my own family growing up. So our parents were super good at laughing at life, laughing at themselves. We had a lot of laughter around the supper table. And so I still probably laugh the hardest with my husband, my siblings, and my parents.
Right. You know, as you were saying about children's events, my grandson's in baseball. And every kid, you get to know every kid on the team and their quirks and whatever. And I make fun of all their names in a fun way. Like, you know, like one kid's, his last name is Plan, P-L-A-N. And whenever he gets up or does something, I'll say, good job, Plan B. And one day his mom comes over, she's laughing. She goes, why do you call him Plan B? I go, haven't you ever read the book? It said it was a number one bestseller. Everyone needs a Plan B. That's what makes you successful. And she started laughing. She goes, oh, okay. But there's this one kid on his team who, when he swings, even now I'm cracking up, when he swings the bat, he's got the bat up here, the ball comes and he swings as hard as he can. And, the swing through and he stops. And then he swings it back into place just as fast. So he swings, and then he swings back. And so I started going, reverse. You know, so he'd swing and stop. And I'd go reverse, and then he'd swing it back just as hard. And everybody around me started giggling. And so now, you know, people are saying it at the games. And anyway, and then my son asked me not to make fun of the kids because he was getting embarrassed. But, you know, that's just me. Anyway, yeah, kids' events are awesome. I love the fact that, you know, like the stat at the beginning, kids will laugh, whatever, 300 times in a day. And if you need laughter... Like at my house with my grandkids, it can happen all the day, all the time, all day long. So, yeah, and that's kind of going with the other thing that Kim and I like to do is by, you know, looking for the funny around you, where we'll go to restaurants and we'll look at couples and we'll just try to imagine what their relationship was like or what they're talking about. Or our favorite is a couple will come in and not say anything.
Right. For
20, 30 minutes, and then we'll notice them say something, and we'll try to guess what was the one thing they said. I mean, they haven't talked for 40 minutes. Now they look across the table, and they say, wait, one thing, like, you know, like, what was it? What was so important that broke the silence? And we'll make up stories in our heads about, you know, people and couples and things like that. So, but it's not hard with me. I'm weird. You know that. I can laugh at just about anything, so.
Well, one of the things that, I've noticed is that I don't mind laughing at myself. And so sometimes I make the mistake of teasing and laughing at others. And I realize, ooh, they didn't grow up with teasing, so they don't appreciate it. But that is a form of humor in our marriage. we tease each other. We have that playful teasing where he can tease me about the things that I know I don't do well or that I've messed up on, and I can tease him. And there is that sense of, yeah, you know that about me. You're my person. We tease, we laugh. And it's just realizing when not to take that too far with someone else, whether it's a kid or whether it's somebody else you work with, or that can go wrong. But teasing can be fun. Fun teasing can,
you know,
add a lot.
Yeah, you just said a lot, because again, you know me, I have teased people and it was hilarious, and they all of a sudden start to tear up and cry, and I'm like, what did I do? I was just teasing. And though that wasn't nice, that wasn't kind. And I'm like, wait, in any other context with almost anybody else in my life, we'd all be rolling. And then they make the biggest mistake. Well, if I said that about you, would you think it was funny? Yes, I would think it was hilarious. You know, I'm sure it's okay. My best friend and I, Ty, like 12 years ago, he calls me on the phone one morning, and he says he's suicidal. Now, he's like me. He's loud, obnoxious, gregarious, funny, joking. And in the way he was talking and the way it came up, I thought he just said it like, yeah, I'm thinking of killing myself. I'm suicidal. And I'm laughing about it. And I'm joking about it for like 10 minutes. And so then he hangs up, he doesn't hang up on me, but he hangs up. And later that night, his wife calls me and says, Ty was really offended that he was so open with you and told you that he was struggling with suicidal thoughts. And I was like, what? He really would? So I right away hang up and call him again. I talk. We talk through. But now, 12 years later, he can.
I can hear you. You're kind of cutting in and out. You know what I like to do? One of my things to do is I love to look up funny things that happened when people used autocorrect, or text messages that got autocorrected to the wrong thing. And we have laughed to the point of hysterics at some of the funniest things. So that's a great, because everyone relates to sending a text and it actually said the wrong thing. Great way to get the laughter going. I think you should tell the funniest moment between you and me as kids, the dog poop story, and it was at your expense. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, you did. Right. You were so mad. Yep, that's right. That's right. Too funny. That's right. Me too. It's so good to laugh. Laughter is good medicine. Still true today. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Yeah. Okay, love ya.